heroes are an inspiring group of people. Every one of them, from the larger-than-life comic book heroes you see on the big silver screen to the everyday heroes that let us live the privileged lives we do. Every hero has a story to tell. The doctor saving lives at your local hospital. The war veteran down the street who risked his lives for our freedom. The police officers and firefighters who risk their safety to ensure ours. Every hero is special and every story worth telling. But there is one class of heroes that I think is often ignored. The entrepreneur. The creator. The producer. The ones who look at the problems in this world and think to themselves, you know what? I can fix that. I can help people. And I can make a difference. Then they go out and do exactly that by creating a new product or introducing a new service. Some go on to change the world. Others make a world of difference to their customers. Welcome to the Hero Show. Join us as we pull back the masks of the world's finest heropreneurs and learn the secrets to their powers, their success, and their influence, so you can use those secrets to attract more sales, make more money, and experience more freedom in your business. I'm your host, Richard Matthews, and we are on in 3, 2, 1. Okay, so I'd like to welcome Justin Burns onto the show. How you doing, Justin?
What's up? How's it going?
Awesome. So I hear you are out in Chicago enjoying the cold winter weather out there.
Wouldn't say enjoying.
You want to know something fun? It was 80 degrees here yesterday in Southern California. That's winter for us.
Throw it all in my face, you know. Us Midwest people love to hear about how sunny it is.
How sunny and beautiful it is here. Okay, so Justin, I want to start this off. Thank you again for coming on the show and agreeing to do this with us. You are the principal behind the Sales Funnel Agency, is that right?
Yep, Sales Funnel Agency.
Okay, so you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you do now here for the Sales Funnel Agency, what that company's like focus is, and what your part in it is?
Yeah, sure. So, for the past, 8 years, which means, that's over 100 years old in internet age, right?
Yeah.
So, we've been building, funnels for, people like authors on Oprah Winfrey Network, Tatiana Lindano, people from HGTV. So we've dealt with built a lot of funnels for celebrities.
Yeah.
And so we've done that really to a lot of success, to the degree of building hundreds and hundreds of sales funnels. Now that means that we've done a lot of work.
Yeah.
When you got the kind of giving your audience like the baseline, if you don't know what a sales funnel is, if a sales funnel is nothing more than a nurturing mechanism, okay, that's what it is. It nurtures prospects. It's the series of sequences that is really, you can kind of summarize it to behavioral marketing.
Yeah. Okay?
So a lot of people, a lot of business owners have static websites. And, as you know, especially on the internet, everything evolves. Everything changes. Everything grows, right? And so, 5 years ago, if you were a business owner, you could have a traditional website, right? And that was okay. All you had to do was have your mug, got some professional pictures, got the nice tie, the nice suit. And people judge you based on it. Oh, website looks great. Nowadays, because everything is evolving and changing, people don't judge you on that. People judge you on the pains that you solve in their business and in whatever it is that they're buying. So a lot of business owners, what we found is that they're missing what's called an indoctrination sort of component, which is indoctrination is all about really connecting with the prospect and really, helping them to really identify the problems that they have and sort of, expand that a little more. And so that's what a sales funnel does. Kind of giving you the background, that's the summary of a sales funnel. So there's different types of sales funnels. You have different things like webinar funnels, case study funnels. You have opt-in funnels. And what I found is that a lot of people sort of were investing in different trainings. And I did it with a lot of success for over, built hundreds of funnels over the past couple of years. And before I started to go into, helping other people do it, I did it with a lot of success. Had 8 people. We were just really cranking. And so what I found is that there were people out there, there were so many business owners that need to be served.
Yeah.
And, even if I built a 100-person sales team, I still wouldn't be able to cover the ends of the earth of sales funnels. I said, what would be cool is instead of just really empowering people to be able to do the same thing, help them to build a successful sales funnel agency. And at first, I wasn't going to do it. I was like, I'm not going to show people this. I don't want to be one of those coaches that just kind of sell,
Yeah.
show people this. And then one day I was speaking at an event And a guy similar to kind of how you did came up to me and he's like, he came back the next day and he took immediate action on what I taught him. And he's like, dude, I closed a $5,000 deal last night in my hotel room, man. And, you know, I was going to charge $500 for that funnel. And because of you and telling me that I could charge $5,000, you know, it was awesome. And so kind of seeing that, I was like, you know what?
I can help people.
Other people.
Yeah.
Exactly. Why not help them to do the same thing?
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's really your origin story for the sales funnel agency. I want to go a little bit farther back. When did you, I want to talk about sort of your origin story for, you know, becoming an entrepreneur. You know, I like to say every hero has an origin story. You know, when did you first discover or think to yourself, you know what, I might be a little bit different, right? I'm not, you know, I'm not cut out of the same mold as, you know, 90% of the people in the world. And, you know, to sort of discover that you wanted to be in business for yourself and that you could bring value to other people that way, as opposed to, you know, joining the regular workforce.
We all have those stories, right?
Yeah.
We have the hero's journey. It's definitely a hero's journey if you are an entrepreneur. You know, how I actually got my start in being an entrepreneur was, I've always had this selling ability, you know, and in school, I was like the kid who always tried to find something to sell.
Yeah.
And I remember, when I was working at Best Buy, and that was like my, you know, luckily I didn't have to do all the, you know, jobs I really hated. I went right into Best Buy, but I didn't have any work experience. So, a guy who was mentoring me at the time, who was like the district manager in Best Buy, he said, well, I can't really hire you for anything. I'm going to be, you know, you're going to be a cashier. I'm like the only guy cashier, right?
Yeah.
Like a bunch of women, and I'm like the only guy cashier. And, you know, I remember they were like, you have this quota to sell Sports Illustrated, right? The magazine.
Yeah.
So you know, somebody's like checking out a line in Best Buy, and now you're pitching them. Or like, if they're pissed off, now you got to pitch them
Sports Illustrated
magazine. Wasn't the best conversation, right? But what happened is that I started to develop this knack for really connecting with people, right?
Yeah.
And naturally, I had the highest, you know, the highest sales in all of Best Buy history for selling the most Sports Illustrated magazine. So then they kind of, I got a little bit of promotion. Not I didn't get a raise, but I got a little bit of promotion. And I went to the sales floor, and they put me in home theater, right? And
yeah.
So all the, you know, speakers, and I was just fascinated with technology. And that's when I started to just love technology. I just started to see the televisions and the internet starting to come on. I was just completely blown away. And I'll never forget this guy, right? And I shouldn't be admitting this, right? But I don't work that much. This guy came in, and he was a very, very, really successful businessman. He's like selling, and I'm telling him about the features, but the difference is that I was asking him about what did he really need this system for? Because the system would, I was asking him questions.
Yeah, question-based selling.
Yeah, they don't ask questions and then allow the prospect to sell themselves. What they typically do is they go into feature-driven sort of selling. Which is,
yeah.
Let me tell you about the features of my product. Let me tell you how great my product is, as opposed to, let me get down to the pain of what my prospect is experiencing and sell him on that.
Yeah.
And yeah, this guy identified that, and he's like, dude, why are you selling home theater systems? You know, and you know, from that point, he's like, listen, you know, I'm not trying to shortcut Best Buy, but I want you to come by my house, and I'm going to pay you to kind of hook up my surround sound system. Like, what do you mean? I mean, I can't do that. It's like, I want to teach you a lesson. Come by. So I went by this, I'm like afraid of calling my girlfriend. I'm like, I don't know. I hope this guy doesn't murder me. I don't know. What do you want to do? You know? And I go by this guy's house. And, you know, the guy's sitting there, and he's like, come in. And I hook up this surround sound system. And he pays me $500. Now, mind you, I'm getting paid like $7 an hour.
Yeah.
So at that time, for an hour of my time, I got paid $500. Now, I thought I was a millionaire at that point.
Yeah, changed your whole outlook on money.
Changed my whole outlook on money. And he said something as he handed me the money. He said, I want you to start to develop your mindset. And I'm like 16 years old, so I didn't really get it at that time. He's like, I want you to start to change your mindset about money and the value that you put out. Right? And at that time, I didn't realize what he meant until I started to kind of work. And so I transitioned from that job. But that experience led me into a sales job where I became the number one salesman in that company for almost 3 years. I made a really nice six-figure income. I was doing very well. And I got comfortable, as most people.
Yeah.
I got very comfortable because I was making over $10,000 a month. I was doing fairly well, as obviously I was 23 in my early 20s. And I thought that I had life figured out. I said, well, if I can make $10,000 a month forever, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, that didn't happen. And they started to lay off people, even though I was the number one salesman. They laid me off, and it became, you know, one of those things where I was struggling, right? And so I got another opportunity. Luckily, one of my supervisors reached out to me and said, hey, Dustin, I want you to work for my company. And so right when I was about to do that, I sort of just felt like this, you know, like I call it the epiphany moment, right? The epiphany moment is when you trust your gut level to do it, even though it's the hardest decision that you will probably ever make.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that every entrepreneur gets. It's like the most difficult decision is typically the decision that you have to ultimately do. And it's the one with the most resistance. It's the one with the most, just the most barriers, the most challenges, everything. Right?
Yeah.
And so I'm here. I'm like, here's this $40,000 a year guaranteed job plus commission. So I had the opportunity to get back up to where I was. And then you got this hard road, you know, like paved with thorns and all type of other stuff.
I took the road less traveled.
And which road do you take? And I got on the phone with my mother, and I was like, Mom was like, no, you need to take the, you know, my mom worked a traditional job her entire life.
Yeah.
She was like, you need to take the guaranteed income. What are you doing? And that's when I sort of kind of just listened, and I sort of just tuned in to really what the universe had for me. And I remember when I kind of thought about this and I said, you know, in my gut feeling, you know, something is telling me to go to the road that's less traveled.
Yeah.
And, you know, for 3 years, kind of that road was less traveled because it was very challenging. I mean, for at least around 2 or 3 years, I didn't make hardly any money. It was really hard. I mean, it was really plagued with limiting beliefs. It was a lot of thinking that I had to change in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I started an SEO company. You know, I studied SEO for a couple of years. I started an SEO company and I started charging $500 an hour, right? Or $500 a month, I'm sorry, for my services. Now, fast forward, I started to figure it out and I started to get clients. I'm making a couple thousand bucks a month. Making a couple thousand bucks a month, but I'm miserable.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm miserable. I have all these clients. I'm overwhelmed. It's just me and somebody else, and I'm miserable. So I hate what I'm doing, and I completely sabotage that business. Because when you hate something, you typically are going to sabotage
it. Yeah, it's hard to keep going and making it, you know, do what you want.
Yeah, you typically do that. And so, I'm back to square root kind of one. Like I have no money, right? No income coming in. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with it? You know, and I'm afraid. It's one of those things that you get to. And kind of fast forwarding to that, what I really realized, and this is really a really big learning lesson for your listeners, is what I realized in those 2 to 3 years that I failed, right? I was going through information courses. I was consuming all type of books. It wasn't like I was just sitting around and not doing anything.
You were bettering yourself.
I was missing. Yeah, I was bettering myself and I was preparing myself for that. Here's the biggest thing. Biggest thing is that I was missing someone that had already done it, right?
Yeah.
I was missing someone who could help me to remove the barriers. Not to say it wasn't going to be challenges, but I was missing someone to help me to remove it. And I would say that the biggest thing I was missing is a mentor to help me, not just any mentor, some mentor who had did it, who had done it, and could help me get there a lot faster.
Yeah, I talk a lot about very specifically, like, you want to find someone who has already the results that you want to have. And then, yeah, you know, and then doing what they do and learning from them, because that's the best way to, you know, to have what they have, right? To get to that point.
Oh, dude, it's like night and day, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with, like, evolving yourself and going through information courses, and that's really commendable. Those things will help you evolve. But what's even more fascinating is getting to someone and working with someone that could sort of call you out on your crap.
Yeah.
You know? Because we all have crap. We all have things that are stopping us from achieving the goal. You know, so kind of like how I define it is, let's say you want to do $20,000. Right? Like, that's your goal, $20,000-$30,000 a month. Well, most people say that, you know, whatever it is, they make whatever excuse they come up with, right? But there is, everything really comes down to a strategy, a strategic way of getting to point A from where you are now to point B. The only difference is the way that you get there and the strategy in which you get there. Right?
Yeah.
And so we know, just like we know that if you want to do service-based businesses, if you charge, you know, you can get there charging $1,000. Now, if you want to get to $20,000, then you have to think about the consequences of getting to $20,000 at $1,000 price point.
You got, yeah, 20 clients and, right? Yeah.
You got to hire more people. Your margins are very thin. Mm-hmm. And so most people don't really take those things into consideration when they're scaling their business, right? In opposed to charging what you're worth, getting your client a bigger payoff, instead of thinking about you can charge less than what you're worth, you charge more than what you're worth, you're working with lesser and fewer clients, and you're actually getting to your goal.
So I want to stop right there, because you said something really powerful and I want to talk about it for just a second. You said getting your clients bigger results, and it's a focus shift from thinking, you know, I want to make $20,000 a month, to how can I give my clients a better result? And then the result of that will be that I get paid what I'm worth, which I think is a really important point.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, what we do for our clients is, like, you know, it's great that we have our revenue goals and our income goals, but it's really all about who you serve. It's all about the results that you get for other people. And then, you know, in kind of equipping yourself to get people results, instead of, you know, what I find is, like, a lot of marketing consultants, what they do is, like, they jump from thing to thing to thing. They're just trying to sell the next best thing, and opposed to, you know, a model that really serves their clients at the best level. So, like, for me, the reason why I chose sales funnels was not because it was the next best thing. You know, it wasn't the best thing at the time, right? I chose that because from my experience with SEO, is that I started to see why people were really failing. It's not that they, you know, needed more traffic. They were missing an automated system.
Yeah.
Right? To nurture their prospects. I said, if I can get them this, I'm going to get them results. And that's what happened. You know, someone, when I charged my first $3,000 client, I got a chance to see them make $5,000. So they made a, you know, return on their investment. So you have to make sure, and the key that you just kind of touched on, you got to make sure that you over deliver and that you get people results, because then, you know, you don't have to worry about, am I charging too little? Am I charging too much? You charge based on the value that you're going to provide.
Absolutely. So that actually brings me to the next question you just talked about a little bit, and that's your superpowers. And I know we just talked about sales funnels are sort of, they're the things that you build or you provide to your clients that help solve people's problems. And I want you to, I know we covered just a little bit already, but when it comes to a sales funnel, how is that different than what most people are doing? And how is that like, it's sort of like, you know, you really are giving a business or giving a something, you know, whoever you're building these sales funnels for, you're giving them superpowers. You know, talk a little bit about how, you know, sort of how sales funnels are different than what most people are doing and how that impacts their business.
Yeah, definitely. You know, right around 7 years ago when I kind of stumbled upon what you would label, like everybody labels the sales funnel now.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of moving pieces. It was,
yeah,
like email marketing was over here. Webinars was over here. Opt-in pages, like everything had its own category. To some degree, it still does today because everyone is like all about, you know, everybody talks about the niche. But just like a business has so many different parts, like sales is over here, marketing is over here. What really makes the business successful is bringing it all together and systematizing everything, right? That's, see, the thing that really makes a business successful is the systems,
mm-hmm,
right? That's really what it is. When you set up systems in your business, you become more successful. You have less headaches and you solve more problems, okay, in your business.
And you remove bottlenecks.
Yeah, you remove a heck of a lot of bottlenecks. So kind of like what I look at sales funnel is that sales funnel is like an automated business, okay, an automated business system for a lot of business owners because you have different things like, the biggest thing that I would just say is that a sales funnel will reduce the time that it takes for a lot of businesses to make more sales. It automates that piece. Plus, you know, you have the internet at your entire disposal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these components that really go into all those different things, you can kind of really incorporate all those things and really kind of box it up into attraction marketing. We call it attraction marketing.
Yeah.
Right? Attraction marketing is way better than trying to oversell somebody on what you do. And that's what a sales funnel really brings to the table. Like, for example, you know, I was just talking to a client, you know, probably about a day ago. I think it was like, no, I'm sorry. Today is Monday. It was Saturday. Right? I lose track of the days. When you're an entrepreneur, you don't know what day it is sometimes.
My wife teases me about that all the time because she's like, are you ready for this thing? And I'm like, I don't even know what day it is. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's sometimes we lose track of time. But one of the things is that I was talking to them on Saturday, you know, before I was taking my fiance out for breakfast. And one of the things that I thought about was, you know, my own systems is that someone watched a video of me and they went through this process. And I'm on the phone with them and, you know, at the end of the day, I didn't really have to talk about who I was and I've built hundreds of funnels and I've generated millions in profit because my automated sales funnel all
did all that for you.
It did it all for me. I didn't have to do it. I didn't have to get on and gloat about that. All I had to do was get on and discover the pain point of my prospect and see if that was a problem that they really wanted to solve. And then essentially proceed, help them get to the finish line of solving that problem, seeing if that was a serious decision that they want to make.
So what the sales funnels do is they change the conversation and the work that you're doing. Instead of constantly trying to, you know, attract leads or to close sales, you are now able to focus on what you do best, which is help people.
That's what we all have to focus on, right? Is helping people.
Yeah.
But we have to deal with when, and there's nothing wrong. Like, I love selling. Like, I love to get on the phone, even if a prospect doesn't know who I am. I love to get on the phone and discover a pain point. It's what I'm good at. But the sales funnel automates everything. Follow-up sequences, behavioral marketing, you know, segmenting people from one list to another list. But the biggest thing about sales funnels is when you incorporate direct response marketing principles, you know, and such as really proven marketing principles, such as the big idea and hooks and things that really can attract clients.
And open loops and closed loops and stuff like that.
Yeah. So much psychology behind sales funnels.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things I really like too, is that nowadays with the tools that are available, you're not talking about single modality either. I mean, one of the funnels I just set up the other day for the show, actually, and, you know, when we do our little commercial sponsor breaks, people get the opportunity to like to, you know, shine up for updates from this show, and it uses SMS, and there's web pages, and there's video involved, and there's email involved, and there's you can even like hook in postcards and like physical mail. And you know, the power of the sales funnel is like, after you do that work once and you set up the like the funnels, you don't have, you know, it's a one-time thing, and then the system just runs, and you can have so many touch points with people to be involved in their lives and provide them value. And then when they get to the point where they want to do business with you for whatever reason, they know you, they like you, they trust you, they already know what you do, and depending on how your business model, they probably already know what you charge, and they've already decided, you know what, I want to work with this guy. And you know, it changes your game completely.
Changes everything because, you know, it's really awesome. I mean, just this new world technology, and when you move into a space like this, this is a space that's only going to get bigger and grow, because more business
more fun.
Are realizing that their focal point of their business should be focused on what they're good at, instead of focusing on setting up all these different systems that they don't have to. They can automate the entire process with a proven and effective sales funnel.
Yeah. So on that point, I want to talk a little bit about the Heroes Tool Belt for the Sales Funnel Academy, what you guys do. You know, I like to say, you know, maybe you have a big magical hammer like Thor, right? Or maybe you have a bulletproof vest like our, you know, neighborhood cop. Or maybe you just really love Evernote, or in your case, you talk about sales funnels. Maybe it's ActiveCampaign or Lob. I like Lob. Lob is fun. Or maybe it's just questions you ask your clients, or techniques that you use for closing things. What are some of the tools that you use to do what you do and make your business run?
Yeah. So one of the things is we use a lot of different tool sets. We like automated tool sets. We love. We use a lot of like ActiveCampaign. You just talked about that. I love those guys. They're actually based here in Chicago. I'm a little biased, right?
Yeah.
I'm from Chicago. no, but it's an awesome. I love the software. I got a chance to go down to their offices. I love what they're doing with the tool, and just love how simple, how, you know, when you get into email segmentation, it could get a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
When it comes to tagging and untagging and segmenting, it can become a little bit complex. But, you know, they make it really easy. I love that tool set. I also love, ClickFunnels. I like ClickFunnels a lot. ClickFunnels is really awesome. Awesome tool that we use to build funnels, but a lot of our funnels are built custom. But I would say here's the biggest tool set that I love to give to my students. It's the ability to find out what's stopping them from getting to the next level, which typically comes in the form of limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
Like we all have them. And so that's my biggest tool set. My biggest tool set is helping someone identify what are some of the limiting beliefs that are stopping them from getting to the next level, because they're just literally one belief away, right, from that one sale that will literally catapult them to the next level, whether they're doing, you know, five figures. So it's a process, and we go through that process in the sales funnel agency where it's like, okay, cool, you have all these strategies, here you go. I could teach you more strategies about how to build funnels or how to get clients all day. At the end of the day,
that's what's up here.
We're just going to serve you highest level. What's that fear? What's the limiting belief that's stopping you when you hit that wall? Why are you not charging $20,000 for a funnel, right? Why are you not charging $15,000 for a funnel? So yeah. What's stopping you has been my biggest thing.
So on that topic, you said you have a whole tool set. Do you have like an example question or something that someone could ask themselves that would, you know, remove, or at least start the conversation removing limiting beliefs?
Yeah, we, you know, I don't want to go through a whole
yeah.
2 hours. Because I could talk about this stuff all day.
All day, probably.
you know, here's the thing that I found. You know, I've worked with a lot of guys who do like NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, all the different stuff. At the end of the day, you know, our minds, they hold on to these beliefs, like these set of beliefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we experience these beliefs in childhood, right? All of us have them. So, you know, some of us got bullied as a kid. Whatever our experience is, we come into a set of these, like our mind associates this meaning to something that happened to us. And when we accept that meaning as being true, we sort of kind of fall in line with that. But here's the thing. As we go through life and our experiences, what happens is that those meanings that we associate in our past, they show up in our future and in our present. So, you know, the bully picked on us. So then we have this association. We have this belief that plays in our mind, this story that continuously plays in our mind that people are bad. Right?
Yeah.
And so then when it's time for us to make the sales call, then, you know, at the end of the day, this story is still playing in our mind. People are bad. People are bad. So we have all this anxiety. We have all this fear. And we sabotage the sale, not because we're bad people or we're terrible at what we do, but because that story that we keep playing in our head keeps continuously playing back and forth as we're trying to get whatever it is we're trying to get done. So here's kind of like a simple process that I kind of go through. It's really being observant of everything in your life, right? And every experience, in my opinion, like this is just what I believe. Every experience comes to you to show you what some of the things that are holding you back or some of the resistance is. So for example, right? My girlfriend says something to piss me off, right? To make me upset. I'm angry. I'm upset at something that she says. You know, at the end of the day, I can choose to go, well, she made me angry. Or I can choose to take another route, which is, you know, what is it that made me sort of react to that? What am I thinking? What are some of the limiting beliefs that I'm thinking about that's stopping me, that made me react that way? So I may come up with a belief that people control me, right?
Yes.
Maybe my mom, people control me. So people are not going to control me, right? And so what I typically do is when I get those experiences, I write them down. And what I do is to make sure, this is how you know a belief is true. When you write it down and you say it out loud, you're going to get some type of reaction in your body. And if you get any type of reaction, you know the belief is true. Okay. And then what I typically do is go through a series of questions because you have to basically sort of trick your mind a little bit to really let go of the belief. So what I typically do, the first question is, and people who are familiar with this process probably heard it before, right? It's not something I created. It's something that I've taken from a lot of great people. So the first question is this belief true? Right? Is it true? Now, most people, your first reaction is typically going to go, no, it's not true. That's not true.
Yeah,
but it is true.
Yeah.
So you can't go with your head because your head is going to come out and say, like, if you believe you're stupid, right? If people told you were stupid all your life, then your first reaction when you say that is you're going to get this feeling like, oh, I believe it's true. But then your head is going to kick in and say, that's not true. That's not true. But you have to be, in order for this process to work, you have to be able to really be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it is true. I believe that I'm stupid. Right? That doesn't mean it's true right now, right? But I believe that. But the next question is really important, which is, can you be certain that this is true? And that is for the most part going to be no. Because you don't have proof. You can't for sure without a reasonable doubt say that you're stupid because you figured things out in life.
Yeah.
Now, somebody may have told you were stupid, but it's not for sure, like 100%.
Especially if you're asking yourself these questions.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting, right? Interesting conversation when you start doing this stuff.
So
then, you know, one of the next two questions is really powerful, and I'll go through them really quick. It's just, can you be like, you know, how do you react when you believe this? And you have to be honest with yourself. How do you react? So then that's where you find out what the block is. Well, when I get on sales calls, I avoid asking the tough questions. I don't call my prospects out. I don't ask the tough questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next question is, who would you be without this belief? So now you're envisioning who, like, you're showing your mind that this belief is not serving you anymore, right? And so you said, well, I would make the calls. I would charge $15,000. I would charge $20,000. I wouldn't be afraid to ask for the credit card when I'm on the phone with my prospect. I wouldn't be afraid to say, is that Visa or MasterCard? I wouldn't be afraid to do that. So what I do is at the end of the process, really quick, is I reverse it and I turn it into a positive statement. And I incorporate that statement into my everyday sort of regimen where I listen to it in the morning. I listen to it. I just started back going to the gym, but I listen to it at the gym. And it's a very, very powerful concept when you do it.
So if I could just recap real quick, what you're doing is you're finding out I've got some sort of a limiting belief. And, you know, I've noticed it because I'm having this reaction somewhere. Right? Something happened, like I got on a phone call with a prospect and I wasn't able to ask them for the sale, right? To, you know, ask them for their credit card. So there's some sort of belief that's blocking me here. Write that down. I can't ask the, you know, can't ask the person for their credit card. And, you know, start looking at what's the story that's going on in my head behind that reaction. And maybe it's that, you know, I don't think that what I'm doing is valuable enough, right? So I can't ask, you know, so you figure out that story that's in your head. And then you're going to ask yourself a couple of questions based on that. Okay, so here's that story. And then, you know, is that true? Yeah, yes, I believe that what I'm doing is not valuable enough, so I can't ask for the sale, right? So can you be certain that's true? Well, no, actually, I can look at some of my past clients and see that, you know, it really is valuable and here's what it's done for them. So you're changing, you know, here's what the reality is. And then, you know, then the last question there is, you know, what's the, you know, what would it look like if I didn't have that limiting belief? I'd be able to close the sales better.
Specifically, yeah. Two questions. So, you know, how do I react when I believe it? Then you're able to kind of see their behavior when they're doing it. You're able, and it gives you this self, even the fact of just self-awareness allows you to sort of heal that belief and really be aware of the belief. And then the next question is, who would I be without?
Absolutely. And then you start incorporating that, the new belief that, you know, what I'm doing is valuable. It's incredibly valuable, whatever your new belief is, into your everyday life, either via meditation or just listening to it or writing it down or whatever your method of, you know, supplanting that belief into your subconscious. And that's a formula for extracting limiting beliefs and putting in empowering beliefs.
Yeah. And it's a powerful thing. Like I did this with one of my students in the Sales Funnel Agency. And, you know, we were doing a call and we were supposed to be doing a call all about copywriting.
So yeah.
Going over like copywriting tool. And she came on the call and she asked this question. She's like, well, you know, I got on the phone. She was telling me about her phone call. She said, I got to the point where I asked for the sale, but I was afraid because it was $5,000 and I only charge $1,000. And I said, well, let's kind of, and I got into this point where I was like, well, let's discover something here. Let's look at this. What do you believe at a core level when you ask for $5,000? Do you believe that you can provide more value than $5,000 that they're going to pay you? And she said, yes. I said, well, there may be some other limiting beliefs going on here. And what we found is she was really open about it. She said, well, I grew up in a really poor, you know, household. And, you know, I think, on a core level, I still believe that I'm poor. Right? Now, here's a lady making $10,000 a month or something like that. She still believes at a subconscious level she's poor. Because she's going to sabotage anything that's going to help her get past those certain levels.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Now, when she removed that, the next week she made a $5,000 sale. And then the week after that, she did a $20,000 sale. So she did $25,000 in 1 month. So literally, you know, some people are just one or two or three beliefs. Now, sometimes it's a process. Some people have more things and experiences in their childhood or whatever it is. But some people are just a few beliefs away from really, really changing their income and their lives.
Interesting. So thanks for that. It was actually really cool to talk about that particular tool in your business. I'm going to talk about one other thing and then we'll take a quick little break. So I want to talk about your mission over at the Sales Funnel Agency, right? You know, I guess what it is that you fight to do. And because I know you build sales funnels yourself for clients, but at Sales Funnel Agency, you are teaching others how to build their own sales funnel agency. So what is the actual mission there?
You know, the mission over at the Sales Funnel Agency is to empower people to build a long-term and sustainable business, selling sales funnels to business owners, but more importantly, to get them to charge what they are worth, okay, while still serving their clients at the highest level. So you know, it's one of the things that I've been just grateful and happy for, because we have so many people doing, you know, they post in our coaching group, I made a $15,000 sale today. I mean, even you were telling me from some of the stuff you learned from the webinar, you generated, you know, I think it was a $6,000 sale, right? So that's my mission. Like, I'm excited when I hear people taking, you know, something that I've said or some of the strategies and really, really building a business that their family deserves. And more importantly, being able to serve their clients at the highest level as well.
Yeah. And to that note, I know, you know, you mentioned, I went through one of your webinars. You do have a fantastic webinar on sales funnels, and I had hired a business coach to help me get past some of my limiting beliefs. And we talked about this earlier, you know, you find someone who's doing what you want to do and then, you know, learn from them. So I'd hired a business coach. And one of the things that I was struggling with was, there was two things. One was that I wasn't charging what I was worth. And the second was I didn't know what the hell I wanted to do. I was like, I had this mind map of all these things I could help people with. And it was seriously big. And I was like, I know how to do this and this and the other things. And I was like, I can't do everything. So what's the one thing that I really both love to do and can provide a really high value for people? And what it came down for me was building sales funnels. And that's when I found you and was going through some of your training. And I was like, he's doing what I want to do. So, you know, started learning from some of your stuff and put that together. But anyways, yeah, good stuff on what you teach over at Sales.
Are you tired of trying to write webinars that don't consistently convert? How would you like to have a webinar that effortlessly created sales in your online business? You can. Introducing the Webinar Alchemy Workshop. Webinar Alchemy Workshop is an online masterclass that will help you write incredibly persuasive webinars for your online courses quickly and easily. Using what you learn in this class, you can build a webinar that educates your entire audience while still creating sales. For a limited time, you can purchase this masterclass for only $7, and you'll get the exact framework I've personally used to help my clients sell more than $1 million worth of online coaching and training just over the last year. Simply text the word ALCHEMY, ALCHEMY, to 444-999, and I'll send you all the details.
The music is by Purple Planet Music. Visit www.purple-planet.com.
So, next question I wanted to ask you here is about your own personal heroes. You know, I like to say, you know, Frodo had Gandalf and Obi-Wan. You know, Luke had Obi-Wan, right? Robert Kiyosaki had his rich dad. You know, are there any either authors or real people, mentors, people that are just a little farther down the line than you are in the same industry? You know, who are some of your mentors that have helped, you know, shape your hero's journey?
Yeah, there's so many of them, you know. I mean, I'm looking at my bookshelf and there's so many books that have made an impact. But I would say, like, you know, some of the people, like, one of my, you know, funnel mentors that I've, you know, really awesome friends named Todd Brown. Love the guy. You know, he's been a really great part in my growth online. And you know, some of the guys who really helped me, you know, like authors that I love their books is Robert Greene. He's one of my favorite, you know, authors. He's like a hero to me because when I read his, you know, there's very few books that I read that just make me just like mind blown when I'm done. And I would say Robert Greene is one of those guys. You know, I've read Mastery, 48 Laws of Power. You know, those books are really, really awesome books. So those have helped me a lot. I look up to entrepreneurs like Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Who, you know, guy says he gave away 99% of his wealth just to build his dream. I mean, you know, guys like that. I look up to people like, you know, Oprah Winfrey, who, you know, her story is awesome. I mean, she built, you know, very, very successful entrepreneur who just, you know, she built this massive media empire doing what you're doing, right?
Just interviewing people.
Just sharing what she loved. And I mean, she's a billionaire from that. But those are just some of the people that, you know, I would just say I kind of touched on different areas like authors and media people. And those are people that really, really inspired me over the years.
Awesome. So, last question for the actual show portion of this, and that's some of your guiding principles. So just want to like bring it home for our listeners. What are some of the things that either you do on a daily or weekly, just like regimented, these are actions I do every day that help me build the success and the influence that I have in my life and in my business? things that, you know, someone could start implementing those in their own lives?
Yeah, I think that there are, you know, when you look at sort of like your day, you have sort of three components to your day, in my opinion, right? You have your morning, then you have the core of your day, and then you got the end of your day. Now, typically, you know, what I do is in the morning, I have my morning ritual. So that kind of consists of my limiting belief. I'm always, you know, chopping down limiting belief. So I do that every morning, or at least I try to every single morning. For the most part, I'm pretty good about that. So I'll do it every morning. I'll do some manifestation. So I'll set some really good intentions for the day. So I'll set, you know, I am going to manifest and do this. I'm going to do 3 sales. So I try to at least set a manifestation. And then I look at my goals. So I do some visualization. So those are some of the things that really I do. Like I visualize, okay, today I am going to make 2 or 3 sales, or I am going to impact 2 or 3 people today. Those are some of like my morning rituals, and I just incorporated working out, but I'm a night owl. So yeah. I'm trying to like balance that out because my brain cuts on at 2 a.m. in the morning. So that's my morning ritual. The middle of the day are going to be what I call your HIT, your high impact sort of things that you do.
Right? Yeah.
And so, you know, what I typically do is, you know, most people overwhelm themselves. You know, you got to think about what are the 3 things that are really going to get you closer to your goals, right? So no matter what I do, no matter all the other, you know, got to return this email, do this, what are the 3 major things that I have to do every single day that is going to make an impact and get me closer to my goal, right? So that's the core of my day. And then the end of my day, and this is the biggest thing that will really help in your growth as an entrepreneur, and it's thinking about, you know, what are, like, at the end of the day, at the core end of the day, I always devote 30 minutes to 45 minutes of, like, learning, right? So reading some type of book, or going through some type of training or whatever it is, like always constantly growing, always learning, always, you know, always be learning, right?
As, yeah.
You know, it's always closing, but always be learning. It's one of my models. And then what I typically try to do is at the end of the day, I try to always do like a self-evaluation. So like, you know, what did I learn for the day, right? Like, you know, what is it that I could have done better, right? Like, what did I do? You know, you want to also do some positive reinforcement. What did I do right for the day, right? So today I did all of my, you know, all of my 3 major things. But what could I do better for tomorrow, right? And I think having that core thing at the end of the day sets your day up for the next day to be successful, and you get to see some of the successes that, you know, you'll experience if you're able to implement those things almost immediately.
That's awesome. So I want to quick recap on that, because it's I've heard this before from a lot of people, and you've touched on 3 things that I see regularly in productivity hacks and people who are ultra successful. One is having a morning routine. Doesn't always have to be the same for every person. You know, people are different and doing different things. But having something that you're doing every day that triggers your I guess the core part of your day that puts you into the right mindset to accomplish things. Mm-hmm. The second one, the core part of your day, is to have you called them HIT, which is it's high impact training. I think it's a physical exercise term, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So you pick the 3 highest impact things, right? The core things that you can do to help move your business or move your life or whatever it is you're working on, move it forward. What are those 3 things? Get those 3 things done and done first. And then you can worry about everything else. And the last one is having some sort of like recap on the end of your day. Did I accomplish what I wanted to accomplish? Yes or no? Why? And what's my big goal for tomorrow? So you can, you know, put that all down and then actually let your body rest without, you know, going into mind-numbing craziness, which I know entrepreneurs a lot of times suffer from lack of sleep because we can't turn our brains off.
Yeah. Yeah. The recapping has been such a huge thing in my business. because it allows me to kind of see some of the areas, and that's how you, in my opinion, like that's how you improve on a lot of different things. You can also do that. You can also apply that to like different areas. So like, for example, you want to get good at webinars, you want to get good at, you know, whatever it is you're terrible at, right? You know, the best people in the world practice day in and day out. They self-evaluate. And they don't really focus on, well, I'm terrible at this. They focus on how can I make an impact and how can I be better every day. One of my favorite, you know, I don't know if you, you know, if you're an NBA fan. I'm a huge NBA fan, right? Like I'm like,
I know what I know what the NBA is. Does that count?
That's bad. You got to go watch a couple games. I love the NBA. I've been an NBA fan since I was in high school, and you know, I'm not all the other sports. I just love the NBA. One of my favorite players in the world is Stephen Curry, right? Who plays for Golden State, and one of the things I love, like all my favorite players have ridiculous work ethics.
Yeah.
Like Kobe Bryant, you know, Stephen Curry. When you really look at their documentaries, you find that they're always looking at how can I, you know, have a better regimen. They're always looking at those things. And it's so critical to do that. And that's why I love, like, you know, studying those guys, because it's just awesome.
Absolutely. Okay, so last thing that I want to talk about on the show, and that is the Hero Challenge. Now, I don't know, I don't think I actually told you the Hero Challenge at the beginning when we were chit-chatting. But if there was one person that you know that you could introduce me to that you think would be a good fit for this show, that we could, you know, that I could bring on and we could hear their hero story, maybe someone that you want to hear their story or you think their story would be particularly impactful for our listeners, do you have, you know, just one person that you would recommend that I try to get on the show?
Yeah, there's, oh God, there's like so many of them. But I would just say, you know, one of really a good buddy of mine that you would want to interview, his name is Sam Ovens. He's a really awesome, awesome entrepreneur. He just sold his technology business. He had a software business. So, you know, he's an awesome, awesome guy, and he does a lot of consulting stuff as well. That would be a guy I would definitely connect with and that I could connect you with, so that, you know, he's a hero. He's an awesome guy and he'd be great for your show.
Awesome. So Sam Ovens, I will hit you up about that after we are off on the show. So to just, I guess, finish everything up and tie it all on, where can people find out more about you if they want to learn about the Sales Funnel Agency, or if they are, you know, just want to learn from you or hook up with you? What's the best way to get in contact?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, you can always reach out to me on Facebook, and it's pretty easy. You know, facebook.com/JustinBurns. Some people spell Burns like Barnes, but it's B-U-R-N-S. So you can reach out to me on Facebook. And again, the Sales Funnel Agency is just salesfunnelagency.com. If you want to learn more, you can see all about what we do there. And we're doing some really, really awesome stuff. So again, if you want to chat, you want to talk to me, just reach out to me on Facebook. That's the easiest way.
Yeah, that's how I reached out to you. I said, hey, you want to come on the show? And you were there. So
I'm always there. I'm always living on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And look forward to seeing what people here think about your story.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Awesome. Guys.